Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはカルチャーエピソードです。You're listening to Japan Top 10, the number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to A Culture's episode on Japan Top
10. Hey everyone, this is Andy.
And this is Tassie.
And you, of course, are listening to Japan Top 10. And today we are bringing you a wonderful little cultures episode all about the history of Japanese manga.
Yes, I'm so excited because I'm an avid manga reader. How about you, Andy?
Yeah, I am too. I'm an avid manga reader. And honestly, I don't think, you know, our hour time frame or however long we're planning to record could contain it. But I'm going to sure try.
Yes. But I don't know, it's one of those things where if you don't watch anime, then chances are, of course, if you're on this podcast, I feel like someone has encountered manga at least once in their lives, right? So.
Oh my gosh, yeah. No, definitely. I feel like it's the baseline. It's either you start on one and move to the other or vice versa, right? You know, there's a lot to love and a lot to cover. But before we get too far into it, we have a few announcements for our listeners. So if you are interested in joining our team, we are currently looking for various staff members, including audio editors, content producers, and even on-air hosts to join our podcast. So if you're interested in joining the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there, please check out our website at jtop10.jp/join for all those details.
Our second announcement for today's episode is, have you ever thought of wanting to advertise your own brand on our podcast? Well, you can market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
Yes, that's right. And our next shout out is for all of those indie Japanese music artists out there. If you create Japanese music and want some exposure, please get in touch with our music director by sending them an email at NOLA, that's N-O-L-A, at jtop10.jp, along with the song that you would like us to feature on the podcast.
There's many instances where me included, and I know Andy as well, we like to ramble and ramble on episodes. So if you enjoy listening to our cultures episodes, remember you can receive the full version of this episode by becoming a Patreon donor, just starting at $8. Please consider that. And plus you'll receive the episode without any announcements or interruptions, just commentary and music. Check out our website at jtop10.jp/club for details.
And honestly, for this one, you're going to want it because all the juicy stuff is going to be, yeah.
That's true.
Wonderful. Well, we can swing right back into our manga-focused mind. I want to take it all the way back to the beginning of, well, we'll get to the history, but I want to talk about your history with manga.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do you have a manga that you start, like, what was the one that you started with? Do you have one? Do you remember?
Yes, I do, actually. My first manga was Doraemon.
Oh.
Yes, so a small little story is that my parents used to own a Thai bookstore. And so one of the things that my parents used to sell was manga, but it wasn't like manga where it was English translated, it was actually Thai translated. And so as a child in the United States, my Thai wasn't actually good. It's honestly gibberish to me at that point, but I saw the pictures and I knew what Doraemon was because I watched the Thai dub version of the anime. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, man, I like this so much. And so from there, it just like spawned to different genres for me. Mm-hmm. My most vivid memory of reading manga that wasn't from the bookstore, because quote unquote, I couldn't really read back then.
Right.
was actually, do you remember this at like the supermarkets? I don't know. This happened with my supermarket in California, but there was Shoujo Bee and Shonen Jump.
Lucky.
And then it's like a huge, like, it was like a thick manga, like, monthly manga, which you can find in like Japan as well in like the convenience stores, but it's translated in English. And from there I read like Naruto, and there was Skip Beat as well.
Skip Beat,
and
dang,
Nana. Yeah. It was like and so Nana, much fun.
Oh, crazy. That is so good. I'm jealous. Like I had to wait all the way until middle school, and then I that's when I first got introduced to Shonen Jump. So same, but yeah, us up in the cold, chilly, you know, Midwest did not have the joys of Shoujo Beat and Shonen Jump just hanging around the supermarket. That's awesome.
Yes, because like these books are like really thick.
They're thick. Yeah.
They're like probably like the thickness of an encyclopedia.
Yeah. Yes.
And I would always remember going to like, I don't know if in the Midwest you have this supermarket, but we have Ralph's here. So like I would go to Ralph's with my parents, and then they'd be like, oh no, Tassie's going to the supermarket and going to the magazine section. And you just see little Tassie like getting two big books of Shonen Jump and Shoujo Bee. And then I'd be like, can I? And they're like, no, it's not actually like you're reading. I'm like, yes, I am reading.
Fun fact. Okay. Yeah, that actually, they show that like graphic novels and comics and things actually show improved like literacy rates for a lot of like early readers, because it takes a lot more like synthesis to like comprehend the the visual aspect as well as the reading.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so actually, it's really good, and kids should read them.
But one thing I do say that is like, and I know that you can agree with me with this, but manga in the United States is quite expensive compared to buying manga in, of course, in Japan or the other Asian countries.
Yeah.
Man. It
makes me cry. Fun fact about that, I'm currently in Chicago, and there's an Asian market called Mitsuwa. It's like a you know that one? Yeah, okay, yeah. So Mitsuwa, it's a little bit outside of Chicago, but I'm going tomorrow. So I'm about, and they have a Kinokuniya inside of the Mitsuwa. And I'm just, my wallet is crying already, but I'm so excited to get down and get some manga for myself. So this is the perfect episode to like jumpstart my weekend that way.
Oh my god. Is there any like particular manga you've been like waiting to like get your hands on?
Yes, there is a few, but the one that I'm hoping they have is a manga called Karaoke Iko. Let's Go to Karaoke. I can't remember the mangaka or the manga artist who made that right now, but it's like a one shot of theirs, and yeah.
Oh, I heard of this one before, but I haven't actually read it just yet. I'm gonna look it up right now because I'm curious what it looks like.
And I think they might be making a drama about it, or I can't remember. There's either a drama or an anime series coming out, but I don't think it's an anime. I think they're having a live action drama coming out of this manga.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like they already announced who's going to be the two main actors of this. Oh, the art's really nice too.
Yeah, the art is really good. So yes, that's the one that I'm thinking of. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's snap back, and we got the nice history. Thank you for introducing us to Tassie's introduction to manga. But let's introduce the world to manga.
Yes.
So, you know, just to briefly cover some of the highlights in manga's history. Of course, it's a tumultuous one that has many different fronts, directions, influences, and trends, you know, as many art forms do. But during its first usages, it was actually intended to mean, the word manga, that is, it was intended to mean whimsical or impromptu pictures. And if one defines manga's history according to the introduction of the term, then it dates back to the late 19th century. The term was actually introduced at that time through works such as picture books by authors like Santo Kyoden. However, and I'm of this opinion, a lot of people say that the general origin point of the art form can actually date back to the 12th and 13th centuries from things like emakimono, which are scrolls, and the scrolls would be, obviously you'd open them up and a story would unfold. And one of the most famous scrolls that is said to have really kick-started the idea that scrolls and books and things can be non-conventional storytelling. It's a scroll called the Choju Jinbutsu Giga. And it's this I think the translation is the scroll of frolicking animals or something. And basically it was one of the first scrolls, or I shouldn't say one of the first, but one of few number of scrolls that kind of started this idea that you can just draw pictures and have the audience decide what the story is going to be. Because there was no real set story and it wasn't based off of a story. It was just pictures of these weird rabbits and frogs and things dancing around. Mm. Yeah. So anyways, sorry to go on that huge tangent, but I have to put my art history degree to work somewhere and it's right here.
I loved it. There's more information that I didn't even know. And I bet the listener didn't know as well.
Thank you. No, thank you for listening. I apologize for the
no,
rant.
No, I liked it.
Thank you.
Apparently there's been a common debate whether there's a continuity of Japanese culture in manga following the World War II. And perhaps it is more American and Western influences that created an abrupt change in it. There are facts that indicate that both sides, and it's more to safe to assume that both of the continuation of Japanese handcrafts and foreign exposure evolved manga into the present form. However, most writers, both Japanese and abroad, will agree that there are core and undeniable factors telling the connection between manga today and art from hundreds and hundreds of years ago in Japan. Wow. Nice.
Definitely. No, I know. And I know there's a magazine from when Japan was first starting to open its ports for trade. Mm. There was a magazine by this British guy. I forget his name. I think it's Wergman or something, Charles Wergman or something like that. Okay. He started this magazine that was basically political cartoons that was kind of criticizing certain policies and things that the Japanese government had imposed on foreigners at the time. And the magazine was called Japan Punch.
Oh.
And it actually got popular with Japanese people as well, incidentally, because I mean, obviously it featured a wide variety of topics, not just related to being a foreign resident of Japan. And so a lot of people, and that was 1860s, and it ran until I think the 1890s. Mm. And it was kind of in the style of, you know, you've seen political cartoons early in the day, I should say back in the day. So that kind of style. So a lot of people say that that also helped, just like you had mentioned, just had helped change again the styling of how visual images could be, you know, represented.
Yes.
So it is on, again, a big side tangent aside, it is important to note that Japan had its own form of comic art that some believe to be the world's very first comic. Eastern and Western comic art are considered to have evolved separately in general, at least in their histories. And it is important that one does not confuse this, that they have developed separately as well as influenced each other eventually. Kibyoshi picture books from the 18th century are a very good example of an original comic art form in Japan. And although kibyoshi are not directly tied with manga, they show that the comic element found in manga may not be completely foreign influence.
So, there is a vital note that changes that were incurred by the American occupation following World War II. Japanese authors who stressed this time period argue for a more transnational mindset, one that emphasizes the real give and take of art between multinational cultures. Others speak of the time following these events as drastically transforming the mood, intent, and atmosphere that the art produced, that there is a distinct difference between manga and other comics before and after this period. Hmm.
Definitely. I mean, yeah, I think it's not just manga, if you look at art history. I'm sorry that this has become the art history lecture
hour. No, I find it very interesting.
Well, thank you for being a very kind listener, because I feel like I'm just like blathering. But yeah, because like if you look at other art forms during this time and like the development of modern art post-World War II, yeah, I think it's very clear that the obvious tensions and things that were happening at that time within Japan being like basically being occupied by America drew this really strange and like drastic cultural response from, you know, Japanese art makers. So yeah, I definitely agree to that point for sure. But we have gotten definitely into, you know, the background of before manga, but why don't we get kind of into manga itself? Now, Rakuten Kitazawa first used the term manga with its present understanding during the 19th and 20th centuries. And since then, it has come to look completely different, of course, from that time. Many of the original examples of manga contain either a single panel or multiple scenes on a scroll, or later, as in like in the picture book form, this was the same kind of format. However, their themes varied greatly, ranging from humor to national problems of the time, and this is where many art styles you see today in manga come from. Just as now, these artists of hundreds of years ago wished to work on their trade and gain influence, of course.
Yeah, I just really enjoy looking at the different styles of each artist, and it's just amazing how what I really like about like manga in general is to see the different like strokes and like the thickness of it. It's like it's so flowy and it looks very effortless too, which I really enjoy.
How do they do that?
But anyways, let's start to the next point where influences from other arenas and practices also came to influence manga permanently, such as kamishibai, which is street theatrics where paper figures over a light box would be manipulated while a story is narrated in the background, as well as Chinese graphic art, which, similar to Japanese art over the past few centuries, contained a combination of written and visual art.
I think that's like kind of what you're saying too, where you can see like the brush strokes and stuff, because a lot of like Chinese ink painting and stuff, I know, has influenced, you know, Japanese art in many ways. But yeah, like that's really cool.
It is really cool, because for those who don't know, like there's so much Chinese influence from Japanese culture as well. So like it's quite interesting to see how Japan later on in history, even though China's influence was really like heavy during their beginnings of their history, just seeing like the different gradual changes that how Japan as a nation really took their own idyllic art styles is very interesting. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. That's like one of the things that I studied the hardest in my undergrad. So I definitely agree. It's one of the coolest things to see like how cultural identity was formed through various, you know, various ways and changes, and like rejecting things but like adopting some things. So yeah, but in general the state of manga today is a culmination of every trend and movement in the history of Japanese art history and media itself. This is to say that certain styles or themes that you find to be similar across many manga or genres are signs of a rich and prosperous history, of course, as we were kind of mentioning earlier, even extending outside of Japan in some cases. Mm-hmm. One example includes the wide and open eyes you will find many characters possessing in manga, both new and old. Now, this feature actually comes from famous shoujo magazines during the beginning of shoujo, so the late 19th to 20th centuries, and artists such as Yumeji Takehisa, as well as Junichi Nakahara.
Well, after quite a informative talk between me and Andy,
yes,
let's have a little break with our first...
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Song, which is Kazemachi by Grapevine, released in November 1st, 2001.
I'm a guy.
Fine is a Osaka Prefecture-based rock band forming in 1993. Their name comes from Marvin Gaye's song title, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, and it can also be interpreted as Bad Rumor. They even have their own fan club that's called themselves Ball Gag.
That is crazy. What is going on with these kids?
It just went all over.
That was like, yeah.
It just escalated. And I hope that after all this talk with manga and talking about the history and our love for manga with Andy and I makes you, the listener, feel more curious or inclined to try reading some manga. But that's it for today's episode. And our preview for our next episode in just a few days from now is going to be hosted by Shauna and Connor, and they will bring our September Artist of the Month episode featuring the rock band The Oral Cigarettes.
That should be good. Wow. Please tune in. That's going to be another banger, just like this one was.
Yes. Well, thank you again, listeners who always supports us on our podcast. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you for listening. This was your host, Cassie, and
this is Andy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Johnny, bye-bye. Japan Top 10.